young birds flying, and a soft wind blowing cools the sweat inside my palms. Close my eyes, hear the flowers growing as you lay sleeping in my arms.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me questions of any kind at bruce@brucesallen.com. That's Bruce and Sallen, S-A-L-L-A-N. It is time for the men's room, and we have our regular guest, Wayne Levine, with us. Wayne Levine is a life coach for men, couples, and families. He's the director of BetterMen.org in Agoura Hills, California, where he facilitates men's groups and men's retreats. BetterMen.org's mission is to help men be the best men, fathers, and husbands they can be. Wayne, welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show.
Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. Empathy is how you've condensed my column this week, Wayne, and that one word aptly describes it. Would you care to begin our discussion today?
If I cared, I would, but I really don't care.
Okay.
Oh, I will, Bruce. Yeah, so empathy. We have to do a lot of work sometimes to be empathic, to get through whatever is in our way, to care about someone else. And for a lot of us, we don't feel as if we've received the care that we've needed over the years. And because of that, it makes it difficult to care about others and to be empathic.
I assert in my column, using myself as an example, when I gained a lot of weight recently, that too often empathy comes only when we've experienced something ourselves. So that it is hard sometimes to be empathetic when it's something we don't relate to.
Well, yeah, and there's, you know, ignorance can keep us from being empathic. Fear can keep us from being empathic. You know, sometimes we, in order to feel something, we have to really be conscious of it and aware of it. And for many reasons, we don't want to be. You know, something hits too close to home, illness or whatever, and we don't want to pay attention to it. So it makes it difficult. And so people who are actually loving and caring and generally compassionate can come across as completely the opposite because something like that is going on for them around that issue.
You know, it's funny because that fear or fear of the unknown, of course, is the root of racism, prejudice, anti-Semitism, all of that.
Sure, of course, and homophobia.
You betcha.
Which is a big issue that's rarely talked about in men's circles, but it exists. It's one of those silent killers.
Boy, getting heavy right off the bat, aren't we, Wayne?
I'm not heavy. I'm your brother, Bruce.
Yes, but I'm heavy, which is really what I wrote about.
I noticed.
No. You're not supposed to say that.
Oh, you look good for 70, Bruce. You look great.
No, thank you. Okay, but I look a thin 70, huh?
Thin 70.
Okay, moving right along with our usual love fest. What can you do to basically have more compassion for others if it doesn't come naturally?
Yeah, well,
and I'd actually like to focus more on a little bit on parenting and to teach our kids.
Well, you know, we teach our children in so many ways every day that we're usually not aware of. They, especially the little ones, they're watching everything we do. They're listening to everything we say. And it's forming them. It's a building block. Every one of those choices. And so when we choose to make a comment, to scream some epithet, you know, at a driver on the road, when we make an off-color remark, tell a poor joke, all those things, it goes into the kids' data banks, and they develop their own ability to be empathic. It's very difficult these days. You know, we used to make fun of a lot of things that are now politically incorrect to do, and sometimes for good reason, things are changing. We teach our children all those things. We teach them compassion and love, and we teach them empathy. So if we're doing our jobs well, then we're coming out of our mouths when we're around our kids.
You know, this brings up something that I actually find kind of a conflict of interest, so to speak. One of the traits that defines our relationship, meaning you and me, and I think defines a characteristic of yours, is we joke with each other at each other's expense a lot. You and me too are often sarcastic, not only with each other, but with others. And I know you've talked about sarcasm a lot. I don't want to lose the playfulness of that with my friends, particularly my male friends, and that is different. You can't be sarcastic with women in the same way you can with your men friends. But if we start being so politically correct, then we're not going to have fun with each other. I mean, I don't want my relationship with you to be so PC that you wouldn't make some of the jokes that you made at the beginning of our segment, for instance.
Right. Well, sarcasm generally is oftentimes it's veiled anger. And you can.
Well, then you must be really angry at me.
You know, I have to, well, but one has to care to be angry.
Ah, okay. So you're saying it's care and anger?
Yes, indeed. So that veiled anger you hear all the time, and comics use it, especially Jewish comics. It's fundamental in humor. And in fact, there is a comedy writer who read my book, and he said to me, it sounds good, it would be great, except he's afraid he wouldn't be funny anymore if he did the work.
Oh, that is wildly interesting.
Now, this is an angry guy, which most comics are pretty angry.
And have all kinds of repressed stuff, too.
Yeah, and it comes, and that's their way of expressing it. I used to feel that way, too, early on in the work that I was doing, because sarcasm was all I had. But through the work, long story short, I got connected with the anger that was behind it. And when I stopped being angry, I was still able to be sarcastic, but it wasn't coming from a mean, vengeful, vindictive place. I use it in fun, and it's received differently. Whereas those who really mean what they say and have a bite to it, that has a completely different effect on people.
You have expressed, though, when I was still in group with you, that you have felt that your own use of sarcasm was sometimes something, it was something you were working on either adjusting or minimizing.
Well, years ago, I mean, I say that, you know, I have these skills that I used to use for evil and now I use them for good. I mean, I use sarcasm in various forms of humor in my work, and it's usually well received because I'm not trying to hurt anybody. It's just another way of making a point. And so a lot of the work we do is very heavy, but sometimes we can make the point with a laugh, and we do that. And one of the things I try to teach the guys is to be able to laugh at yourself and have a sense of humor, because otherwise the road can be just very tough.
Well, I think that's very true, and we can take ourselves too seriously. Let's stick with empathy. Why do you think kids on a playground can be so mean-spirited? Where does that come from? Are people born mean?
Well, I don't know. You know, boys bust each other's chops, and it prepares us for battle. And the guys do that. You know, guys will bust each other all the time, and we have a good time at it. And those who don't have a good time at it need to learn to have a good time at it, because that's how men relate to each other. And I think it does go back to a time when you want to make sure that the men you're going into battle with have your back, and they're not distracted with silliness, and they've got they're strong, and they're ready to do what's necessary. So we kid each other, we test each other.
That's men with men or boys with boys. But yeah. I found, for instance, that my older son, who's in high school and recently broke up with his girlfriend, has experienced some amazingly mean-spiritedness from his ex-girlfriend's friends, and it wasn't an ugly breakup, but there's been just lies spread around and gossip and ugliness that just has stunned me and frankly has stunned him. To his credit, after the initial backlash, he's done well. We're almost out of time, so you can only give me a quick response and also tell our listeners where they can reach you, please, Wayne.
gossip is gossip. Gossip is no good. This is what happens in high school, and you know, we have to start developing thicker skins because this kind of thing will happen throughout our lives and for various reasons. So people are mean sometimes because they come from mean households, you know. I don't think we come out mean. I think we're affected by everything we learn, and parents have a big part to play in that. So to find out more about us, it's at bettermen.org. Bettermen.org, you can get my relationship manual for men there and find out what we're doing to help men to become better fathers and husbands.
Thank you, Wayne. I look forward to talking with you next week. It's been a pleasure, and it zoomed by as it always does.
Thank you, Bruce.
It is time for a break. This is Bruce Salen from The Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. We'll be back after these words.
Zoom, 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 zoom.